Hello, and thank you for listening to the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. This unedited audio is taken from Skepticamp 2024 and was recorded in front of a live audience in Manchester on the 18th of October 2024. A video of this, and many of the recordings hosted by Skeptics in the Pub online, are still available on our YouTube channel. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you would like to support what we do, you can join our Patreon. Find us at Patreon, Skeptics in the Pub, online.
Welcome, folks. We're in the final session here. We've had a fire hose of sessions so far. We're going to blast you with a few more before we go. I'm Brian Ego. You might know me as Eggman or husband of the poop detective. I've got Dave with me here. Say hi, Dave.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. And for the... I've been reminded many times this morning that I'm short, so I'm going to stand up so you folks at the back can see you. Stand up too, Gargantuan Dave. Hello up at the back there. Okay, excellent. So if you're confused, we are both small and far away, okay? So, all right. So, the more observant of you might have noticed, we've been shuffling our pack of speakers a little bit. I'm going to introduce some genuine real-life drama here. We do have a speaker who's just off the plane, probably on the train on the way here now. We might get him here in time. If not, you get 10 minutes of beatboxing from Dave at the end, which is going to be fantastic, right? But otherwise, we're going to kick in with our final set of sessions. Now, again, if you're looking on the boards here, you'll see two QR codes. One is to ask questions, one is to make donations, okay? If you accidentally want to ask a question and make a donation, that is a win, right? So feel free to do that. There will be a bucket on the way out if any of you've got some old school money as well. What are we collecting for? Well, our speaker's about to tell you. Give it up for Emma McClure.
So back in July, the current Justice Secretary announced that they were going to start letting a load of prisoners out early from their sentences. It was one of the first things she did in a press conference at HMP Foss Way. And it was going to start in September, and it did. This month and last month, they've now let out thousands of people early from their prison sentences. These are people who you would expect to serve 50% normally in custody and then 50% on licence, and they're now being released 40% of the way into their sentence. And almost immediately, some of them have been committing more crimes, some of them serious ones. One enterprising individual, that's not counting down, by the way, one enterprising individual managed to get recalled before he'd even been released. And they were, I've seen it happen before, and several people were gate arrested at the time. So on the face of it, this seems like not a very sensible thing to have done. They've let all these naughty people out early and they've started committing crimes. What's going on? So I'm going to go backwards. Last year, you may be aware that I ran from Liverpool to here to give a talk at Skepticamp to make an overly laboured point about prison conditions and the difficulty of escaping them. I didn't run here this morning. I did run around the building a little bit, which we'll come back to. That talk was almost ruined by this guy called Daniel Califf, who somewhat made a mockery of my central premise that prison escape is difficult and rare by allegedly undertaking the most high-profile prison escape in decades about a week before Skepticamp. At the time, in September 2023, he was on remand for that and for the offences he was originally in prison for. And now, over a year later, he is still on remand for both sets of offences. At least that's what this talk originally said. In his ongoing attempt to ruin every talk that I give, he's actually on trial right now. So we might have an outcome by the end of QED. But why was he on remand for such a long time? It was like almost 2 years in relation to the original offences. This is why. This is the Crown Court backlog. It's currently about 67,000 cases are awaiting trial in the Crown Courts at the moment. You may have seen this being referred to as the COVID backlog by various governments. I would point out from that graph that it was at 43,000 at the time COVID kicked off. So as with many things, COVID made it worse. It was bad and COVID made it much worse. And that means there are thousands of additional people on remand in custody who normally would have been processed through the system. And there are some other reasons for the prison increase. So there are sentence inflation over time, there's been an increase in recalls, and to my mind, the most significant factor there is austerity, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more in a bit. If you don't believe that the prison population has been a problem for a while. This is me giving a talk about it in 2017, complaining about the prison population at the time. And just for more evidence, this is me complaining about the prison population again in 2017 in this room. And for some reason, I was worried that you wouldn't believe me, so I just wanted, I felt I needed to point out, so this is last year, it's the same curtains. Look, it's the same, they've changed the curtains. But anyway, this is the graph about the current prison population since the year 2000. And you can see projections there, which don't look very good. But we're going to come back to that graph in a little bit, because I want to pull back, because that doesn't have the full picture. This graph shows the prison population since 1900. And what you can see there is that the prison population essentially doubled between 1993 and 2010, which was due to the tough-on-crime wars between the Tories and Labour during that period, where increasing swathes of behaviour were criminalised and the length of sentences went up massively. And at the time, that wasn't too much of a problem because there was space and resource to deal with that increase. And just to underline the point that this isn't a new problem, this is a cartoon I found from 2002 of Tony Blair, and he's squashing prisoners into a bin. The problem, so they filled the prisons up, and then austerity happened, and the Ministry of Justice was not ring-fenced in any way, so every aspect of the justice system was gutted. You had about a third of prisons, probation, courts, and police staff were lost during that period. They sold off large swathes of real estate, they didn't repair or upgrade any of the estate, and there was no resource at all for any kind of rehabilitation. Now, the minimum, the maximum safety standard the Ministry of Justice used for the prison system is 79,333. That's their ceiling for safety in terms of how many people the prison system can hold in England and Wales. And that's absolute maximum. That's not, that's absolute safety maximum. It's not, the amount where it would function properly is actually quite a lot lower than that. But you can see from this graph, we've actually been above that for quite a long time, over 10 years now. And we reached a peak of 88,350 during the summer. So it was really quite bad. And I am aware that there'll be some Americans in the room who will be laughing at the idea of 88,000 being a large prison population. I know that you count them in the millions, but this is about relative capacity. And so something had to give, basically. We were absolutely at full. Because completely full is terrible. If you're completely and utterly full, you can't arrest anybody new. If you've got someone you suspect has just committed a murder and prison's completely full, you can't, what are you gonna do with them? And then if the system is completely full, you can't run any kind of regime within custody in terms of health services, mental health services, drug services, rehabilitation services, anything, if every cell is completely full and you've not got enough staff. Something had to give. They did have to release the pressure valve. So the releases that have been going on at the moment are very much, they had to do something. And realistically, if you've got someone who, say, has a three-year sentence, you would expect them to normally be released around 18 months into that sentence. And now, under the current regime, they're being released at 14 months instead. It's not a massive deal. And I said at the time this was announced to anyone that would listen, there's a few people in this room, that one of these people, when they were released, was going to kill someone. Thankfully, that, as far as I know, hasn't occurred. But there have been some serious reoffences. And we should expect that, because between a quarter and a half of all people who are released from determinate sentences go on to reoffend. Because the system's fucked, right? If you just squash people into a unsafe warehouse like sardines, the situation isn't going to improve in terms of their propensity to commit further offences. But we need to look at more long-term solutions, otherwise we're just going to keep releasing the safety valve, because as you can see from this graph, the population is projected to go very, very much higher. Now, this is the current prisons minister, James Timpson, and he's on record as having said that a third of prisoners don't need to be in prison, which breaks a trend of ministers. So I've been doing this for 14 years, my job for 14 years, and this is the first time I've seen a justice minister say something useful when I should to carry something useful when they could do something about it. There's a long track record of them saying things when they're no longer in office, but hopefully this is the sign of some positive changes to come, because if we don't, we're just going to continue in this cycle of reaching absolutely full and having to release the pressure. We're just going to be going in circles, running in circles, you say. So last year I ran here to make a ridiculous point, and unfortunately, this incredible achievement of mine did not single-handedly fix the problem. And so the running is going to continue until the situation improves. You may have seen me this morning running around the hotel. I did 32 laps of this building this morning, which is 10 miles, in practice for something called the long stretch, which is a double marathon I'm doing in a couple of weeks' time. That's two marathons back-to-back on the same day inside HMP Dorchester, round and round circles upstairs, along the wings, down, round and round. One of them in the dark. They're going to turn the lights off to make it spooky, which, you know, as a skeptic, I'm really looking forward to. And I'm doing that... as I did last time, on behalf of the Prison Reform Trust. If anyone is interested, it's 84 laps of this building for a full marathon, if you find yourself at a loose end this weekend. Alternatively, you can donate to me/share my link and enjoy QED instead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Emma. Let's dive into the questions. First up from Mick Sterbs, or Sturbs, if you're American. If you were Minister for Justice for a day, what is the first change you would make?
It's hard to answer that question simply because the system got so broken in so many ways because of austerity. I mean, the simple answer is just money. Put more money in it. Because it is completely... I mean, from a selfish point of view, so I'm a prison lawyer, the fees that I get paid on public funding have not increased since 1997. In fact, they're lower than they were in 1997. No increase at all, not even with inflation. I would have been paid more to do my job in 1997 than I'm paying now. But the simple answer is they need to put more money into it to replace the staff they've lost.
Okay. Talking of more money, Nick Garrett up next. £10, oh wait, wrong QR code. Nick, I hope you found the correct QR code for your donation and maybe make it more than 10, please. Since I am here, why is the safety maximum such a specific number? How has that worked out?
So I don't know exactly how it's worked out, and that's the Ministry of Justice's own number. I think the number should be lower than that. It's worked out in terms of... Well, like I said, it's safety. So, like, the minimum number of staff to prisoners, etc., ratio that they think is the safe one. But I don't know exactly what criteria is used. But that's how it's worked out.
Okey-doke.
But also, I should say, some of the prisons are more overcrowded than others. Some of them are, like, 190% capacity. So those individual prisons are well over, but the entire estate is well over.
And they're not like shuffling the pack, moving people around.
No, you can't move them around. Everywhere's full.
Oh, so. Okay. All right, we're running a bit short of time. Let's go for one more question. From Evan. My GB News watching friends and family say, I'm going to choose your friends better, Evan. say, lock them up. Does overcrowding need to be addressed by dispelling the myth that locking everyone up prevents crime?
Yeah, if you could get rid of that, that would be really helpful because, as I said, the reoffence rate is half of people that go to custody are going to commit another offence. And a lot of those offences are offences of despair. So locking people up does not deter people. Because I've got plenty of clients who are in prison and then commit crimes. You know, they've already had the ultimate sanction and they continue to commit crimes. So, yes, if you could dispel that myth, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
Someone get on that. Thanks.
Get on that, please, folks. All right, we'll go one more since we did start a bit late. From Anonymous this time, what are your views on environmental protesters getting longer sentences than far-right rioters smashing up hotels?
I think we should be... My view is that prison is for people we're scared of, not for people that we're annoyed at. That's my position. So I think if I'm not scared of someone for committing an offence, I don't think they should be in prison.
Okay. And just thank you. Okay. And despite what you think of the food here at the Mercure, please do not destroy this hotel, because we need it for the weekend. So we're going to have to move on now. Let's give it up for Emma McClure, please, folks.
That was the Skeptics in the Pub online podcast. For more sceptical content, including information about future talks, please like us on Facebook, follow at SITP on Twitter, or head to our website at sitp.online, where you'll also find a link to all the ways you can get in touch with us, including our Discord server. Music in this episode was provided by Thula Bora and used with permission. Until next time, thanks for listening.